Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock talks about the future of the resort. More Project Stardust is happening.
The trams have returned. Updates to World of Color. Stan Lee is honored. We talk about Star Wars, Galactic Star Cruiser, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 2nd, 2022. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Shannon W. for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join.
So we just want to make an announcement that this last Sunday we were supposed to have our live stream, and because of stuff going on with my family, we are actually moving it to next Sunday, which actually ends up working out great because we talked about announcing these on the podcast and have forgotten almost every time. So this Sunday, March 6th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific or Disneyland time, go to youtube.com/DLWeekly and you'll see our link there for the live stream, and we'll have some fun talking about Disney stuff together.
Now let's get to the news. Well, just overnight, last night in fact, we have a new face that gets to greet us as soon as we walk through the turnstiles of Disneyland. That's right, instead of the classic Mickey flower bed, Minnie Mouse is now there instead. Again, popped up overnight. We actually had a weekly tier that said they were there yesterday, took a picture with Mickey, and then this morning, here's Minnie Mouse. So this is in honor of Women's History Month, which of course started today, March 1st. The other cool thing is this is the first time we have had a Minnie Mouse flowerbed planter in not just Disneyland, but any Disney park, and she looks fabulous.
So, yes, I am so happy that they did Minnie. It was a total surprise. There was no notice ahead of time that this was coming. It just kind of happened. I will say that the transformation from Mickey to Minnie, in my opinion, isn't super drastic. If you look at the... We have a picture from a weekly tier yesterday and Minnie today, and the color of the flowers is still pretty much the same. The face shape is pretty much the same. They added some eyelashes.
I think that's so cute. Yes, Minnie's got little eyelashes, the bow, and it looks to me like the eyebrows are different. It looks like Mickey's got more pronounced eyebrows than Minnie. I love that they added the eyelashes, though. I think that's so cute.
She also has a pink tongue, and he has just a filled-in mouth. So, yeah, this looks good. I'm glad that they are, of course, celebrating what they've been trying to say of inclusion and all that good stuff. So, of course, sporting Mickey and now Minnie Mouse on the front. Do you think that they'll ever do other characters? Like, they could do Donald or Pluto or Goofy. I don't see why they couldn't.
I don't know if they would. I think it's one of those things that it's such an iconic thing that changing it too drastically might be a little bit too much, if that makes sense. Like, people, you know, it's like if they change the castle suddenly. People are looking forward to and, like, know that these are, like, staples and icons of the Disney park. So I think it'd be hard for them to change the planter over to, like you said, Goofy or someone else, especially since, I mean, in the history of all Disney parks, Minnie Mouse has never been present.
Right.
And that's not, like you were saying, not a huge transformation in comparison. I just think this is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, not a huge deal for them to do this, but I think it is so cool and so important that they are doing these things and we're focusing on stuff. I mean, we're in the third month of the year. We've already had Lunar New Year celebration.
Yep.
We just finished up Black History Month with Celebrate Soulfully and all the fun stuff that they added for that. So having this extra little nod to, you know, Women's History Month is just, again, super cool. It did, and it, in the grand scheme of thing, what did this cost them, you know, in comparison to having, like, a ton of entertainment or merch or, you know, whatever.
Well, they refreshed something, the Mickey floral enough anyway, so.
Something simple, but I think it's really impactful. I, for one, am super excited that we get to see Miss Minnie in person. I feel like this is like not a maybe it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know. Is Mickey, how long are they going to have Minnie there? Is this going to become a regular thing that they go back and forth, or maybe they do start changing it out to the other characters of the Fab Five and the Sensational Six? I don't know.
You know, they could get really crazy.
They could just do all of them?
They could do all of them.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. I feel like that's a lot of work, but they could. It'd be really cool. They've done some really neat things with this floral for previous years. They've done things for, like, I remember there was some banners and stuff there for Year of a Million Dreams and all that type of stuff. So I'm glad that, and I think that every year that they'll probably do this for this month for the women's
going forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's, again, something not such a big deal for them to do, but I think it's
we'll be there when we've seen the first one.
This will be the first, and this will be the first time we'll have to get photos with the beautiful mini planter. I don't know. Again, like, it's silly. I don't feel like I should be this excited about flowers, flower planter stuff, but I just think it's so cool, and I think that just the fact that it was a total surprise and it was just poof, there it was also really exciting.
Well, speaking of changes in the parks, the president of the Disneyland Resort, Ken Potrock, gave an interview to the Orange County Register last week. He discussed changes at the parks, the new normal, and more. He states that the pandemic gave the resort an opportunity to rethink things. If they don't work out or need adjustments, that's okay, because Disneyland is continuously evolving. Ken also states that the new normal is almost here, with more yet to come. Finally, he said that Disney is working hard to bring characters from movies and TV to the parks much faster than in the past.
And we've seen that. I mean, that last point there, we're already seeing that happen. I feel like Raya came to the parks very quickly with her meet and greet, but even a more quick turnaround from film to park is Encanto with the new float and them being part of the new final finale float for the Main Street Electrical Parade. Obviously, that has not debuted. It's not actually in the parks just yet, but we're already seeing this, and I for one, am very, very excited.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about a lot of different things, they asked questions about reservations, about the different changes, the guest reaction to Genie Plus and Lightning Lane, which he said, like, a large percentage of the guests want to use it, and that they've been collecting data and stuff on that information. And then Fantasmic's coming back later because they're, like Teresa has been saying since the beginning, there's just a lot more to it. So they said that it's just a more intricate, complex mechanical endeavor. They were literally installing towers as of earlier this week. So I assume that they're doing tower work as well. So, just because we don't see it during the day doesn't mean they're not doing a ton of work other times.
I'm getting more and more nervous for Miss Murphy. I really am.
Oh,
I really am. Fine. I hope she's okay.
That'll be fine. They asked about Celebrate Gospel, and they said they're going to grow it dynamically. So that's really awesome, that because it seemed like it was a very popular thing, again, like the new Lunar New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they asked about milestones laying ahead, and he gave the political answer of, oh, there's all types of great things coming. We'll announce more like later or whatever, basically.
And we're going to focus on the one that's coming right around the corner first.
Yeah.
So anyways, I like Ken Potrock. He seems to me, clearly I've not met the man.
No.
He seems to me, though, like he's got, I like his priorities. I think he's got good alignment. He seems very down to earth. I love that we get to see, it seems like he is in the parks very often and that he's very involved. And I really think that's important. And I really like that. So,
I mean, the poor man became president, like, right as the pandemic hit.
I know.
And I remember he
became president to a closed park.
I remember seeing him on the, they would have streams, Zoom calls with the other theme park people, Universal, Knott's, all that stuff, with like county health people and talking about all these different things. I remember seeing him there for the first time, and I just remember feeling so sad that he kind of took over.
I know.
Almost like Bob Chapek taking over, like, right at the worst possible time.
The like, sinking ship.
Yeah. It's like, guess what, Teresa? I'm the captain of the Titanic. We just hit an iceberg. Here's the keys. See ya. So,
I'm not easy. It kind of starting at, like, the uphill battle stage instead of being handed, like, the keys to the kingdom sounds like a great thing, but in this case, maybe not so much.
Depends on timing and context.
That it does. That it does. Well, with the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, many thought that Project Stardust, the initiative to widen walkways and improve guest flow throughout the park, was done. Well, it looks like the terraced areas in New Orleans Square might be next on the list of things to change soon. Mice Chat reports that the elevated areas that are not wheelchair or stroller accessible may be removed soon to allow for better guest flow and accessibility. This would also help with the extended queue for pirates that has been a problem since the introduction of Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. I'm going to take that back. This would also help with the extended queue for pirates that has just always seemed to have been a problem.
It seems like it's more of a problem, though, now, more consistently, because generally pirates, when operating at full capacity, can really suck down people pretty easily. It's when they try to do these weird things with the queues. Remember the one time we were there, and for whatever reason, like, half the queue was just not being used?
Yeah.
And so that was a little strange. But I
think they do that on purpose. I think that's probably for, like, disability
maybe
pass access.
Well, anyway, so here's my hope for this. I think that Disney has done a really good job with Project Stardust things so far, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and see how this turns out, because New Orleans Square is a very difficult crowd control situation in a number of ways. We always point to pirates, but just in general. And these terraced areas, I never thought about it before, but yes, there's a lot of them that are stairs.
Yeah.
Without any type of accessibility.
Which I kind of thought they did that. I thought that was intentional to make it so that you had like tiered areas for phantasmic viewing.
Yeah.
I thought that was almost intentional. But, you know, the stairs are kind of wasted space, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. The one thing that I'm really nervous about is there is a lot of like gardened type areas, and there's a lot of like areas that have bushes or trees or, you know, like greenery, and just are very aesthetically pleasing. And I think those areas are really important. So I'm slightly concerned that we might be getting rid of some of the planters. Save the planters. I'm going to make t-shirts. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't want to put too much speculation into this quite yet, because who knows what they're going to do. Maybe all they're doing is taking the stairs and, you know, leveling them out more so that it's more of a, like, gradual ramp instead of stairs, and maybe they're not going to touch the planters.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm with you. I feel like there needs to be shade, and I love trees and planters and stuff. I don't want sections of Galaxy's Edge and sections of DCA that are just kind of concrete and no trees.
I think that's what gives New Orleans Square so much character, though, is the fact that it has all of it. And the shade. I mean, we all need the shade, especially on those hot, hot summer days. The shade is very, very welcome in New Orleans Square. But I think it makes it feel less like a theme park having those additional things. And just, like I said, it just gives the area more character overall, I think.
I know that my next thing that's going to come out of my mouth would be prohibitively expensive, which is why Disney doesn't do it. But wouldn't it be kind of cool if they could devise a way that they could, there's twofold here. One, that they could keep it tapered kind of like it is, get rid of those elevated sections, but just kind of make it flat, but have like a system where cast members could like block it off before Fantasmic, and it kind of raises up almost into like seating, like layers. You know, like at a, so you know if you go to like a gym and they pull the chairs out from the wall, but coming up from the ground. Prohibitively expensive, but it would be kind of cool and would make it awesome for Fantasmic. The other thing would be, I really wish that they would do more trees and stuff along the riverfront, but they don't because of Fantasmic.
They don't want to block it.
So if there could be some cool way, again, to have some type of platform that the tree could just like go down or something. I'm just saying, like,
it's going to suck the tree down into the ground when it's showtime.
I don't know. Okay. I want something because when I think of that area along the riverfront, it is, during the day, it does seem kind of open and bland. Like, there just needs to be something there.
The thing that makes me a little sad with the riverfront is it's become stroller parking area.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that takes away from some of the beauty that is the Rivers of America when there's a sea of strollers right in front of it. So, but yeah, something needs to happen. It's just, I don't know what the answer is, because, like, okay, for example, my comment with the stroller parking. Well, where would you move it to? Yeah. You know, so
do you
there's only
read,
so much space.
Do you ever read the comments on the Mice Chat articles?
Sometimes.
Okay. So I do because I like to see like what people's thoughts are on the news, and people get a little crazy in the comments sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of ignore some of those. However, somebody made the point that I sort of agree with, and I know parents listening are probably going to be like upset at this, but somebody else made a comment. They're like, why does everybody have to bring a stroller nowadays? Like, there wasn't this many strollers 20 years ago. Like, well, why are there so many strollers in the park?
Because there wasn't that many people.
Well,
in the
I mean,
park
that's a good point, too.
Is really what it is.
Yeah.
It's not that, yes, it feels like, oh, everybody's got one now, but there's just that many, you know, there's however many more people.
Yeah.
That, we also used to have something called a slow time at the park back
that
then,
is true.
Too, or an off season.
That's true.
One may say, yeah.
The trams have finally returned. Hallelujah. I'm sure everybody's excited. Driver, you're all clear. Honk, honk. Guests don't have to walk all the way to and from the front gates any longer unless they want to. There was a special reopening ceremony for the trams with Disneyland President Ken Potrock, Disneyland Ambassador Natalie Guzman, and, of course, Mickey and Minnie. On the day the trams came back into service, there were 13 trams in circulation. I want to say this connects, the comment I'm going to make connects to the comments that I was just talking about with Mice Chat. Somebody said, does anybody else find it weird that Disney fans are so obsessed with something like a tram? Which I thought was funny.
I was going to say, I think it's really special that they understand the importance of the trams so much so that they had a reopening ceremony for the trams. I mean, we didn't get a grand reopening ceremony for like the monorail or the train or, you know.
Oh, they should have.
Other things that are also very iconic. Of all the things to have a like big, I mean, it wasn't, I say big, it wasn't like this huge pomp.
No.
But it was, there was effort. There was definitely effort put into this.
Did you watch the video?
I didn't. But again, like for something as simple as the thing that takes you from the parking lot to the front gate.
Right.
When you really like think
something
about it.
Something that's so utilitarian.
Yes. But it's very special for Disney fans. So I thought it was really special that Disneyland made the extra effort to like make it a thing and celebrate the return.
I agree. So Natalie, the ambassador, I felt so bad for her. She was so excited.
Oh, no.
So she announced Ken Potrock. He came out. He made a couple comments. And she's like, should we bring the first trams to the thing? And she's all excited. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, but I want to make some more comments. And then he
but the trams!
Went on for some comments for a little bit. And I was like, you just stifled all of her excitement. She was building this all up and you just killed it.
He's like, I have a few more things to say, and then we'll get there.
Yeah, but then at the end of his comments, he's like, now do you think we should bring the things out? And she's like, yeah. I don't know. I just felt bad because she was so excited and jubilant. And then he was just like, I've got a few more words. And I'm
not
like,
not yet. Not
oh,
yet.
Oh, man.
Yet.
And then the tram came in. And
Mickey was on it.
All of the transportation staff that worked to get the trams going got to ride the tram. Like, they took that group picture. And then all of them got on the tram.
Yep.
And
they
got
the
to go.
First official ride.
So that
on
was
the tram.
Cool. I still think that there's something with they installed sensors in the ground. I wonder what's going on with that. Because when they did all that work, they said there's sensors.
That might have something to do with knowing where like the tram is on the loop, so then they know when to send out the next one.
Sure, sure.
I think
that's a good
idea.
You know,
kind of like how rides have sensors to know when the cars are. So like,
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm, I think it's a sensor like an attraction has to know where the other one is. I was waiting for you to do another.
No, that was only two worthy.
It was only worthy of two. Got it.
Sorry, my excitement was squashed like the poor ambassador.
Poor Natalie. Well, World of Color will be delighting guests once again soon, so work has been going on around the clock. One of the interesting things that has changed is the new projectors and housings for the show. The new buildings and projectors are much larger than the old versions. This could mean that the show will be brighter and have clearer images on the missed screens. Fingers crossed, I hope so. I think that'd be so great.
Well, think about this. When did World of Color premiere? Was it 2010, 2012? Think of how far projection technology has come in that time.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, even with the shows we've seen with the castle projection shows and Main Street projections and all around the world, it's gotten so much better through the last 10 years. So it has to be so much better now. I'm very excited for that. One of the things that I always had problems with Fantasmic and World of Color is the mist screens are really innovative and cool and awesome. Yeah. And like, you can't really replace them, but also they're not like super clear.
Yeah. There's some scenes that look great on them and other scenes that you can't really, for me, I can't really tell what it is. It's like, because I hear the music, then I know, like, oh, yes, okay, that's whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it.
Anything dark seems to be a problem, but, like, when they had that gorgeous landscape that they do right before, just around the river bend, like, that green lit up, like, that's very easy to see because everything's so bright. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, when they have the windmills, which is one of my favorite parts of World of Color, it's harder to see that. So I'm hoping that this will be brighter, and maybe this will allow them to do more things with future versions of the show, too, which would be cool.
Very true.
It has been a few years now since the comic and cinematic universe lost one of its most iconic creators. To honor Stan Lee's 100th birthday coming up in December, a plaque was installed in Avengers Campus. The new plaque is located at the entrance to Avengers Campus, kind of across from the Blue Sky Cellar, that entrance to Avengers Campus. Mm-hmm. It reads, quote, "We dedicate Avengers Campus to the incomparable Stan Lee, that person who helps others simply because it should or must be done, and because it is the right thing to do, is indeed without a doubt a real superhero. Thank you, Stan, for inspiring the hero within each of us. You have made us all true believers."
Again, like, just so special. And I think, you know, Marvel fans especially, I appreciate Marvel. I did not grow up reading comic books. I became more aware of Marvel more recently, and same thing, you know, I had heard of Stan Lee, but I didn't really know very much about it. And, like, you reading that, like, gives me all the warm, fuzzy feels and goosebumps. And, like, it just, it's very, very touching, very heartwarming. And I can see how the fans, this will just mean so, so much to them. And so, I mean, this means so, so much to Stan Lee's legacy, too. I think it's very cool. Again, not something that was expected or that they had to do. And really, this to me was a surprise. We didn't hear plans of this at all, and it just kind of popped up overnight. Yeah. So I think that's really, really special. The other cool thing too is right now, I don't know if this will always be the case, but right now they do also have, I saw photos that they have like flowers around the base of it right now too, to make it, you know, extra special and more.
Yeah, the first few pictures I saw of it, they were kind of close up and there was no context as to where it was. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure out if it was in, because at first, you know that area, so across from Web Slingers, there's that store. Yeah. And then there's that kind of little area where people can stand to watch the web slinging show. I thought it was there, but no, it's actually right before you get to the Avengers logo in the ground.
Gotcha. So it's kind of right off the main path.
Yeah,
right?
Because if you look at the picture here, the left side of the picture has the type of fencing that is for, like, the Grizzly Peak area. Mm-hmm. And the right side has the fencing that's Avengers Campus. So it's right at that changeover. But I think this is cool that they put something in to honor him. And I didn't realize that he was going to hit 100 years old. Actually, because COVID screwed up time in my brain, I had to Google like when he passed, and it is, I thought it was like a year or two ago. He's been gone since 2018. That's five years now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's been
no long. It doesn't. I do love his cameos in all the Marvel movies.
I know.
Though it's always so
I still
funny.
Think this is such a side bar, but I still think what they should have done to like wrap up a storyline so beautifully is at the end of the final Avengers movie, when it's not a spoiler now if I talk about it, right?
Probably not.
Okay. So I was like about to say, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say it. When Captain America goes back in time, I felt they should have made the old, like, old current Captain America should have been Stan Lee, and then it would have like been intentional and like have so much more meaning as to why he had all these different little cameos, that it was Captain America like watching over his friends. I thought that would have been such a nice, like, pretty little bow on top.
That would have been kind of neat, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Southern California Weekly Tiers, who are also AAA members, there are some ticket deals that might help you save a few dollars next time you go to the parks. A 3-day, one park per day weekday ticket is $179, which is about $60 per day. There's also a 3-day weekday park hopper ticket for $239, which is also about $80 a day. There are also options that include Genie Plus for $239 for the 3-day one park weekday option and $299 for the 3-day weekday park hopper option. These tickets are good through May 26, 2022.
To be clear, you have to use the last day on them by May 26, yes. 2022. They did also mention that this is a great deal if you wanted to catch the return of World of Color or the fireworks or the electrical parade, because all of that will be going on by this point. So, you know, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, you'll just miss Fantasmic, but you'll get all the other nighttime entertainment.
You know what I always find interesting? Maybe you can explain the thought process for me on this. I feel like if you live in Southern California and you go to the parks enough or pay attention to the news and stuff like this, that you have an annual pass.
Not necessarily. Maybe this would be something for, so say, let's pretend you and I live in Southern California.
Sure.
And like my parents aren't pass holders.
Sure.
They enjoy the parks, but they just aren't going to be there as often. This would be a good thing for them.
Sure.
You know, for them to take advantage of other family members.
You could also buy these for people that are visiting, right? So like, for instance, we have Weekly Tears that live there. If they had friends coming from out of the area or family, they could probably buy these for those folks.
That part I'm not sure. We'd have to
look at the
I don't know if you have to be both things. If you need to be a AAA member and a Southern, I know you need to be those two things to purchase it, but I don't know if that means you also need to
AAA member to qualify, and you must also be a Southern California resident or a Northern Baja California resident. You also need a park reservation in addition to your tickets, so check the calendar.
To be safe, I'm going to assume you personally need to check both of those boxes for your ticket.
Interesting.
Since we don't have the fine print, so yeah, that's, I'm going to assume, because usually the other like Southern California tickets, like it's for Southern California residents specifically,
sure.
So I'm going to assume it's the same there too.
Warning: the following news might make you hungry. With the Disney California Food and Wine Festival starting in just a couple of days, Disney has released the foodie guide to the event. Some past favorites, as well as some new items, are on the menu this time. I will say, looking at the photos, a lot of this looks good, but I feel like that is par for the course for these food festivals now. What are things that you are excited about?
I can't even start listing them. It would be much, much quicker for me to list the things that I don't want to try. That is how wonderful
this
menu looks.
You aren't interested in the peanut butter jelly mac and cheese.
I don't know, because now that I read it and I understand what it is, that it's peanut butter and jelly mac, no cheese. So I assumed cheese, so I was like, I'm not so sure about that. But it's the pasta with peanut butter and jelly and a brown sugar streusel. So that made me not go immediately. No, thank you.
This next level crackers and cheese
that
looks really good.
Looks so good. I just can't.
So that
this should have been, maybe this will be our discussion topic next week to like gush about all of this food.
Oh, maybe.
Because I can't narrow it down for the tiny news topic because it just looks amazing. If you haven't looked through this yet, please, please, please go to the notes or go to our show notes. Go to the link. Disney Parks blog has this all out. It looks incredible. It looks so good.
I feel like I'm not gonna have a chance to eat any Disneyland food when we're there, that it's just gonna be eating all of this stuff, because this all looks so good. You know what's great? We're going with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So we can order and try all of this stuff and not have to worry that we're gonna be full.
We sure can. In fact,
does your family know that this is all happening? That the Food and Wine
Some
Fest
of
is
them
happening?
Do, but they also don't go very often. Mm. So they're very excited. They got, some of my family got reservations for Carthay Circle.
Oh,
so
nice.
Some of them are doing that. My parents, I, and a couple other people in my family got Lamplight reservations because nobody in my family except Vern and I have done Lamplight, and I think they're all going to really enjoy it.
Well, producer James said that Lamplight was probably his favorite.
It's really great. I think in DCA, I think that's my favorite place in DCA. I love it. Anyways, yeah, this might have to be our discussion topic next week because it is so overwhelming how amazing
this menu is. We
probably can
talk for an entire discussion days. Topic about this.
We could talk for days about this.
You know what? This list is as long as the last time they had a list for like holiday food, mm-hmm. and it was for world and land.
Yeah,
because I'm scrolling
DCA,
and this is
still. You know what I mean? Like it just keeps going. Look, there's even a different. What is that called? A different treat over at Terran Treats. There's a new ration, a raspberry spiral ration, which is a yellow strawberry.
I like how it's
spiral
a raspberry
churl.
Spiral, but it's got yellow strawberry.
But there's berry compote.
Yeah. Anyway, let's. Okay.
I just can't. It is so
exciting.
We're going
to talk about food in our discussion topic today, too, because I have lots of opinions about that. So it's a food heavy. If you're hungry, pause the podcast, go get some food, come back, listen.
Perhaps we need to change the podcast name to DL
Food.
Food Weekly or something, or DF Weekly, Disney Food Weekly.
You know, I thought about that if we ever rejiggered the format of the show, we should have sections of the show that are things like we're now entering the food section, we're just going to talk about food, we're now in the merchandise section.
I can understand that, but it's hard because some weeks there's tons of food, we didn't talk about merchandise at all. Actually,
then that segment is longer and
then
the other segment is
shorter.
Like
merch, we've kind of gotten away from merch unless it's very exciting. It has to be like super exciting merch.
The thing is that it seems to be when there's no food and no like normal news, merch ends up being
That's true.
Thing. So it's kind of all over the place. Lee, Disney Food Blog. Yeah. Maybe we should partner with Disney Food Blog and make a podcast.
Well, with the Food and Wine Festival starting very soon, of course, the booths have begun to appear on the parade route with the coming soon signage. Uncork, California, Berry Patch, Garlic Kissed, Peppers, Kali Ente, Nuts About Cheese, I Heart Artichokes, Cluck-a-Doodle Moo, Avocado Time, and California Craft Brews have all been rolled out so far. The festival runs from March 4th through April 26th, so there is plenty of time to enjoy all of these amazing-looking treats.
There is a lot of booths, which makes me hopeful that the lines won't be as crazy as it was for Lunar New Year.
The one thing that I'm extra hopeful, yes, more booths.
Yep.
But if you go back to that post, I don't know if you noticed this, some of the booths have two windows instead of one. We have some booths, and I don't remember, Weekly Tears, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember having these larger booths before, so I don't know if those larger booths are new or if maybe they only bring them out for the Food and Wine Festival time because they know, because it's Cluck-a-Doodle Moo. That one is definitely, I would say, one of the more popular booths that I've, you know, heard of. And then the California Craft Brews booth is also, has the dual windows, which I could see that one also being quite popular. So I don't know if those are new or if they're only for the festival. But I was excited to see dual window booths because I feel like that's bigger room for the cast members to be able to work and put stuff together and get more stuff out to the people.
Yeah, I hope that they can, as time goes on, work on just the expediting process of getting the food out to guests, because that, I think, was the slow part for us. But I'll tell you, if it's anywhere near Lunar New Year food, because that was really good. No, Lunar New Year.
Festival of the Holidays.
Sounds so good.
Psst, avast there. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? You think you got what it takes? You ready? You gonna do this? You excited?
Woo!
I hope so.
Yeah?
Always.
Nearly as excited as I am, Tag.
Well, apparently. I don't know.
I don't think that sounds like good news if you're super excited.
Are you eating something to get you all hyper? Like, what's the situation?
No, I have a Nopper. Have you ever had a Nopper?
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, you have.
It's like a s'more.
Funny, like, cookie-type things that we get at Aldi. I think you've had them.
I don't think so.
They come in, like, a five-pack.
It's delicious.
They've got, like, a hazelnut spread in them. We'll have to go grab you one. Tags got distracted by food.
It's a Nopper. I'm very excited for my Nopper.
They're good.
That's pretty good.
I really hope all of this stays in. Don't cut this.
What?
You can't cut this. This has got to all stay in. Because everybody else needs to be excited about Noppers.
Ooh. I mean, you were the king of Trivia Land, so.
Yeah. Oh. Well.
I
don't know if I'm the king of Trivia Land. All right, so let's get to it. Time for trivia. Your first question, we're having four tonight, all listener submitted. So, four and a bonus, sorry. All of these are going to be listener submitted questions. Your first one tonight from listener Thompson H. Harper Goff is one of the Imagineers who brought us the Jungle Cruise. His hometown is Fort Collins, Colorado. In Fort Collins, there is a road named after him. What type of road is it? Is it a street, a drive, a way, etc.?
Parkway.
I want to say drive.
Yeah, parkway, because I feel like, I don't know why, it just seems like a fun thing. Also, there was a comedian skit that was like, why do we park in a driveway and drive on a parkway? That I always remember. Anyway.
The English language is kind of crazy like that, isn't it?
It is.
All right. So we've got parkway and drive. Are those your final answers?
Final answers.
All right. Your second question from listener Jill M. How fast does the train go? And I'm going to give it to you if you're like a mile per hour.
Like top, you know, like what is it top at when you're on it kind of thing?
Yes. And if you're within a mile per hour, you know, I'm giving you a swing here.
Goodness.
7 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. I was going to say 14. I'm going to stick with 14. You're going to stick with 7?
Yes. It doesn't go that fast.
I know, but I don't know.
You know what?
I'm thinking about the downhill. I don't know.
I have a beef with this because I feel like in general, when I used to go to the park when I was younger, the monorail used to get up to 40 miles an hour on the straightaway through the parking lot, which it doesn't anymore. And I swear the train used to go faster than it does now.
Or did it just feel faster because you were younger?
No, I think it was faster, but maybe. It's possible.
Or maybe they tightened restrictions from the 90s to now?
Maybe. Safety, you know?
Right, right. I mean, things were a lot more loosey-goosey in the late 80s, early 90s, so.
Yeah.
So who knows?
They just had some old train engineer and he just gunned it.
Right. Yeah, it's possible. Who knows? Okay. So you have guesses of 7 and 14.
Yes.
Okay. Your third question from listener Trisha H. I chose this one because here in Wisconsin, we're having kind of a heat wave. It got up to 50 degrees today, which for us in the 1st of March was incredibly warm. And we're losing all of our snow and it's not going to be winter much longer. And I had to use up this question before we don't have any snow left. What is the name of the snow car that greets guests at the entrance to Cars Land in the winter?
It has a name. We even got our photo taken with
it. It has a name.
It has a name.
I'm sure it has a name.
And this is fully vetted. I found 3 confirming sites.
I'm gonna call him this is like so not very exciting. I'm gonna call him Snow Car because he looks like a little snowman, but he's a car.
Frosty the Snow Car.
Oh, that actually has a name. I love that he has a name.
I will say, as warm as it was today, yesterday when I got home from work, there was like 2 solid inches of ice on our pathway leading to the front door because
of everything melting.
Well, the thing is the roof drains kind of next to it. And because the ground was frozen, there was nowhere for the water to go. So the water sat there and then froze.
Yes.
So I had to use this like chiseler thing to like chop it up and then move it around. And so
it is a fun time to be a mailman because all sidewalks that are on the north side of a building, all the water drains to them, and then it's really cold there because the sun never shines on it, and then it freezes into a sheet of ice. It's joyous.
I'm sure. And then when you walk on the other side where it's nice and warm, you're like, dang it.
Oh, yeah. South sides of buildings, everything is dry and clean, and it's like it's May. But all right, your fourth question from listener Lee S. Where did the words Lincoln speaks in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln attraction come from?
Gettysburg Address.
Didn't we?
We had a similar question
okay.
to this.
Yeah, Gettysburg, it was Gettysburg Address. Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that like part of it was that it was from 2 different things? It was from the Gettysburg Address and something else? I'm just going to go with Gettysburg
Address. The only thing I remember is, I just remember Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And your bonus question from listener Stephen S., this movie was the first to feature the now classic Disney Castle opening logo with the sound as we know it today.
Ooh.
What came out in like 1954, 55?
Dang, this is making me question my childhood. I really feel like I thought the Disney... no, it's the books. They open with the books. Okay, they open with the books for Snow White and like Sword in the Stone, Sleeping Beauty, they open with a book.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about like the Walt Disney Pictures, whatever. Because I want to say that they already had that kind of opening, because I thought that the Disneyland TV show kind of opened with that. So I would have thought that it would have been around that same time.
So then maybe it was me.
What was 1954?
See,
I don't know any of the 50s stuff.
I'm trying to think because I feel like I remember. I feel like I don't remember a movie that doesn't have it. So that's why I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think back at like the opening of like Snow White, and all I can remember, and like Sleeping Beauty, and like the first ones are the books. Mm-hmm. Pinocchio. How did Pinocchio open? I don't think
Pinocchio was the 40s though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember Pinocchio having didn't have the book opening thing like the other ones did.
Are you sure?
I don't remember a book.
Peter Pan was the 60s, wasn't it?
It was a little bit, yeah, that was a little later.
No,
it was in the 50s.
Because Peter Pan opened with the park. Mm-hmm. I will say Peter Pan, because I think, well, that was 53, and he didn't really start promoting until, I think it was 50. I'm going to say Peter Pan. I have no idea.
I'm going to say Pinocchio, because I can't off the top of my head remember how.
Pinocchio's like from the 40s, though.
I know. I'm still going to say it.
Okay.
You're going to say Peter Pan?
Yeah, I think we're both wrong.
I think we are too, but.
All right, so Peter Pan and Pinocchio, are those your final guesses?
Yep.
All right.
Not good ones, but.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stay tuned until after the discussion topic, and we will all find out together.
So this week, we're going to go on a little bit different direction for our weekly discussion topic. It, of course, is not something that Tag or I have experienced ourselves, but the entire Disney universe is blowing up about the Galactic Star Cruiser, because we have all now seen our first peaks inside. There was the first official voyage, which was, I think, just the first official voyage was specifically a media event. So, yep. Of course, lots and lots of YouTube footage that came from there. But as we record now, the first official open to general public voyage blasted off today. Very excited. I probably shocked Tag when I brought this up as a potential contender for this week's discussion topic, because as some of you may have known, I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, I think this, my opinion prior to seeing Inside was I thought it was a neat experience, but probably something that I would never do because A, the price tag's super hefty,
yep.
But B, I'm not super Star Wars knowledgeable. I've seen the movies. I've seen the Disney Plus series, the live action Disney Plus series, not the animated series. I don't know if I could live in Star Wars for 2 days and maybe not get confused, kind of a that's my level of Star Wars knowledge. So I kind of wrote this off and didn't think it was for me. Okay, so what for you, Tag, being a Star Wars fan, prior to seeing anything Inside now that we know now, what was your excitement or thought of the Star Cruiser?
Well, the first thing I ever saw was just the concept art, obviously, like everybody else saw, and it was of the rooms, mm-hmm. and I thought the rooms looked amazing. I didn't know how practical the rooms were, because something can look really cool, and of course, like, you watch a movie, right, and you're like, oh, okay, like, you're on the Millennium Falcon, and Han Solo has to sleep on this thing that maybe isn't that comfortable. Like, that's the universe, but you're not going to want to sleep on that, you know what I mean, especially if you're paying a premium price tag. So I was a little concerned about that. Then they did some, they showed some like preview footage, mm-hmm. that was lit differently than the actual experience is lit because of having cameras and having to have things done a certain way. And it didn't look great. a lot of marketing buzz, et cetera, that people were kind of suspicious of. There was a last minute panic of people canceling their reservations because they thought it wasn't going to be anywhere near what they thought, et cetera, et cetera. So I started to go in with really low expectations, and I thought overall, I think the price is the problem. However, I'm wondering if in the future that they will do other immersive experiences like this that won't be as pricey with other properties that they have. Like, wouldn't it be cool for Marvel, right? You could actually stay, you know, in some type of the Marvel universe or something like that. Or, like, what's another thing that people might want to, like, live or experience as a whole universe? So Harry Potter would have been good, but
that's not... The only thing I could think of would be Harry Potter, but that's, you know, not under the Disney umbrella. But... as far as Disney-owned properties, Star Wars, I think, makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I'm a classic Disney girl. So, sure. But I don't know how... There's not really a universe within that... I don't know. I can't think of, like, an animated universe that I'd want to be immersed in this deeply for 2 days and, like, live in for 2 days.
Now, I have a question.
For this price tag.
I feel like I should know the answer to this. And I think I do, but I don't want to be wrong. Have you ever been on a cruise ship?
I have not been on a cruise ship, no.
So the idea of the Galactic Star Cruiser, for those of you who have been on a cruise ship, you kind of know what it's like. Let me explain kind of the cruise ship mentality here. So the way that they are doing this is, for these 2 days, you are in this universe. It's not that you're going to leave halfway through day one and go to the grocery store, or you're going to leave through halfway through day one and go to Magic Kingdom or something. This 2 days, it's like you are on, in this case, a spaceship, but people might be more familiar with on a cruise ship. You're out at sea. You're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So everything is included in this. So you've got your stateroom, which is, you know, your cabin on the Galactic Star Cruiser. There's entertainment that is provided. There is food that is provided. Of course, there's chances for upselling just like on cruise ships. You know, the buffets and all that stuff is already available to you for free. The things that cost extra are like the premium things are like alcohol. So from that aspect, you know, you look at like a Disney cruise. James and I actually just looked at a Disney cruise, and I think there was 3 or 4 days we were looking at, and it was $3,500 or something. Maybe that was for a 7 day. But this is a 2 day thing, and it's like $5,000. And I know that Teresa's looking at it now. The Voyage thing for two people is $4,809 for the whole voyage.
For the voyage. Mm-hmm.
So that's almost $5,000 for this. There are also some people online that have taken the, I will say, cheesier parts of the preview and have used that to attack the whole experience. The very first thing I saw from Braden from Mickey Views was they have, just like on regular cruise ships, some of the entertainment is things as simple as trivia or dance contests or stuff like that. They had a, like, learn how to dance thing that was like in the main area, and he tweeted like a small picture of it or a video of it and was like, "You're paying $5,000 for this, folks." And I'm like, after I watched Ordinary Adventures, which had that dance thing as part of their video, there is so much more to this than that. And he doesn't talk about any of that other stuff. It was just really pointing that out. So I think that it might have gotten an unfair shake so far.
I think so, too. I think now that... Okay, let me back up. For those of you that know me, you know that I don't like spoilers. I usually like going to YouTube and watching videos on specifically new attractions, new experiences, that sort of thing. I tend to avoid. Usually, I go to YouTube to watch, to figure out things. So actually, what was it? When we did Touch of Disney.
Yeah.
That was one of the first times that I like sought out YouTube videos to help me figure out what I was getting into, to help navigate, help me better understand what we were going to do for those 2 days. I felt a lot of pressure for some reason for Touch of Disney. So I wanted to I felt like I needed to prepare. But typically I try and stay away from that kind of stuff just because I like to go in not knowing what's going to be and just authentically experience it. Why I got so curious this weekend about the Galactic Star Cruiser, beyond me, I don't know, because that's not, again, not something I usually go, oh, that opened, you know, this thing just happened. I want to go watch it because usually I don't want to know the details. I want to experience it. Anyways, so I pulled up Ordinary Adventures because I enjoy Kitra and Peter. I like them both a lot.
Can I say something about them before you move on? I told James tonight, because I watched almost 2 hours of their Star Cruiser thing, and I'm not even about halfway through their whole voyage. They might be my new Tim Tracker.
I like them a lot.
I also commented
that... They're so down to earth.
What's her name?
Kitra.
I told James, I said, Kitra is Teresa. She's getting very excited about stuff, and I'm the other guy who's just
Peter.
I'm there and excited, like, I like it, but I'm not, like, outwardly as excited as she is. I like them both, though. I really enjoy watching their videos.
I just think that they're very genuine and they're authentic.
She was crying at one point.
I don't feel like they're very fake, where sometimes people are a little bit more over the top. So, anyways.
I like their rating system, too, by the way.
Yes. So I did decide to kind of just to just see, because I was curious, because I'm like, what is this all about? Tag, I got sucked in. I got sucked in so hard. It was so fun. Because of these videos, you're going to like hit me or something.
Well, you told me that you
now want to go on the Galactic Star Cruiser. Goodness. Never did I think I would say that, but now I'm like, I'm bought in. My only caveat, though, we're not going to give spoilers. If you guys want spoilers, 100%.
I haven't watched enough to give you a
100%
spoiler.
100% go watch Ordinary Adventures videos. It was a series of 4 videos, I believe, and they kind of take you through the whole thing. The cool thing, though, because there is a storyline, there is an overall storyline during your journey that happens and unfolds. Part of me wishes... Because, again, I like to try and live these things authentically and not know. If you want a taste of what's going on, watch shows 1 through 3. Do not watch the 4th and final one, because that gave away, like, the most epic, cool stuff. I wish I would have been able to just experience that. It was the, it was like watching, like, the first video was like watching Smuggler's Run POV videos. The final video was watching Rise of the Resistance. You're just like, what? You know, so all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So if you want the wow factor, don't watch that one. The cool thing, though, I feel like I spoiled myself. But the cool thing, though, is I got so sucked in. I watched other YouTube people that were on the same voyage. I don't even know who these other people were, but I watched their stuff because they like talked to them in their video. So then I watched these other people's videos to get the other viewpoints.
Yeah.
The thing that is interesting is not everybody on the cruise has the same experience.
Right.
So Kitra and Peter are actually on the cruise, or they're on the Galactic Cruise again. They had already signed up to be on the original first launch, which happens today, March 1st. So they kind of did back-to-back trips because Disney invited them to go to this like invite-only pre-launch thing, and then they're back on it again. So it'll be interesting to see what their experience is the second time, because they were talking to other people that got to experience these storyline elements while they were experiencing these other storyline elements.
Sure.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
So no spoilers here. This is just... So I want to say one thing that I felt must have been annoying, perhaps is maybe not the right word, but something that I thought interrupted the story. Because the videos that Ordinary Adventures did that we've seen so far were during that media day, everybody everywhere has cameras.
So there are times
where people are walking up and recording things that I feel like was the cast members did an amazing job.
Yes.
But I feel like if it would have been a normal cruise with 1 or 2 people recording something,
I
think it would have flowed a little differently, because there were times where the cast members were walking around, and sometimes they were kind of impeded by people who were trying to be close and get video.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that it'll be nice to watch videos of not everybody in the background has a camera up, because that was kind of almost every shot.
Some of the background, you saw one person with 2 cameras. It was
it was
very
silly.
Camera heavy. I do think Peter and Kitra did a pretty good job of trying to not show probably how bad it really was. Another fun thing for me personally, I actually know somebody that works on the Galactic Star Cruiser, which is super cool. She was in the second video. She's actually, she's the one that taught them how to play there's a different version of Sabacc.
Oh!
And she's
that actually looks more fun.
Yeah, she's the one that taught them how to play Sabacc.
Oh.
I totally fangirled out.
How do you know her?
So, long story short, she's part of the Blue Shirts, and she comes up here. It's this group that I'm involved in, and we get together once a year. She lives in Florida, obviously. So we always talk Disney whenever we see each other. And so the last time I saw her was this past, like, September or October, and she was telling me She, at that time, was working in Batu, and she was really hoping that she was going to be able to be part of the Star Cruiser. Ooh. And so that moment when I saw her on screen, I just, like, fangirled out. I was so excited. I got my phone out and had to message her. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just saw you. You know, I was very excited. Very, very excited for her. I thought that was so cool. That was, like, a weird highlight for me for the video because I knew
right.
her.
You're
and
like,
I knew
hey.
I knew she was trying to get there. So I thought that was so great that she did. So, but anyways, very, very immersive. Let's talk. So, like, again, there's a general storyline. And the thing that's neat about it is it seems like you can be as involved as you want to be. Some people are obviously are going to be going all in on this. Other people might be a little bit more stand backish and don't want to be that deep into the storyline. For me, if I were to ever go on this, my one thing that I would need to do, I would want to go with a large group. I understand that we're all not all going to be doing the same thing at the same time, and that's fine. But I think it'd be so much fun to have like a group of friends that you can kind of like powwow with, like, and
sure.
all maybe like all eat a meal and be like, so what did you do today? You know, that kind of
yeah.
stuff. I think sharing the experience would be really, really exciting for me. I don't know if I would be as excited to do it with a bunch of strangers.
So I will tell you that, and I don't know how it is on a 2-day situation, but when we've gone on cruises in the past, we've gone on 6- and 7-day cruises. On a cruise ship, you are way more likely to talk to perfectly random
yeah.
strangers than you
yeah.
are other times because you're having a shared experience.
Yeah.
So there was even a part of their video where they worked with somebody else because there was part of a message that you had to work mm-hmm. with. There was 3 parts of a message you had to work with other guests who would have the different
yeah.
pieces. So I explained it. I was watching it. I thought it was really cool. I love the idea of this whole situation. Then I was thinking how uncomfortable I would be in that situation because I explained it to James. I was working through this because I was talking to somebody else today and James about this. And I said, it reminds me of those like icebreakers at the beginning of something
yeah.
where you know that there's like you were just saying, there's people that are way in and they love doing that and they love cosplay and they get like right into the roles and they don't feel embarrassment
yep.
or any they just go cuz like they're having fun and those people this is meant for.
Oh yeah.
100%
definitely.
Those people are going to get the most out of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then there's the regular people who are like they're kind of on the fence and then there's people like me who like I don't like being picked out of a crowd for anything.
Yeah.
I don't like I get more embarrassed about having to like act a character and stuff because that's
yeah.
just not me. That's
yeah,
not where I'm
yeah.
comfortable. So I feel like I want to go there and I want to kind of almost be like a fly on the wall
mm-hmm.
to this situation. Like I want to be enveloped in the movie, but watch the movie. I don't want to be in the movie, but
you
I want to
participate in the movie.
Right. But I want to be in the room where the movie is happening.
Sure.
Like,
no, I get that.
That is what I want from this, but I feel like I would not get that much, as much as somebody who's just going to go for it. Because
oh, sure.
the characters are coming up and talking to you, and you're doing all these things.
I
so
cannot,
cool.
You talk about the characters. I could not get over the characters that you experience, like that you go through this experience with. The
yeah.
thing that was so incredible to me was these characters and these cast members made it a point to remember you as a person, your
yep.
name, all sorts of things. And they would come, you know, come to you directly asking for help for certain things or would thank you for this or that or whatever. But it felt very genuine and it looked
sure.
very real. It didn't feel very forced, like, oh, I'm sorry. You were like, maybe they do it, but they do it in a very good way that it wasn't like putting you on the spot kind of thing. And it felt like these were real relationships that these people were creating.
Again, I think they get this from cruise ships.
I'm sure they do,
because
yeah.
the 2 cruises we've been on, our person that took care of like our stateroom,
mm-hmm.
the very first day when we showed up, hello, Mr. Bushman.
Yeah.
Like, they knew our name already and, like, all this stuff. And, like, we had to learn their name. But I feel like that's what these cast members are doing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is you're for 2 whole days, you're getting to know these people. And there's only, what, 300 people probably at a time or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's not like they have to remember a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to know people. I will say, I don't know what it is, but visually, I love the look of the captain. Something about her, that particular cast member in that, like, I love it. I love how she talks. I love how she moves around. I just want to follow
the
captain
wonderful.
Everywhere.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
They have a droid that's like an R2
the
droid that also
wonderful.
Was super cool.
Yeah.
The pop singer that came out.
Gaia. Mm-hmm.
Gaia. She was singing, obviously, like, new written music for this experience. She sounded amazing.
Do you know what's cool, though, is they actually have now incorporated a Gaia song into Oga's Cantina, and so DJ Rex will now play one of Gaia's songs. I think that's a really cool
tie-in.
Yeah, kind of full circle
thing. I love the idea, like I said, I love the idea of all of this. I feel like there were aspects of their videos that I watched, and again, I don't want to, like, I'm not giving spoilers of storyline away.
Yeah, no.
But they have this whole bridge experience where you go from console to console and you learn different things. You shoot at asteroids, or you know, you learn how to do basically
shields,
a lot of little puzzle kind of things. And to me, it reminded me of, like, they had this in Florida, not in Disneyland, but they had it in Magic Kingdom Space Mountain, where they used to have, like, games in the queue and kind of keep going. They reminded me of that, where it was like, it's cool, little kids will like it. I don't know, like, I would do it for a minute or two and then be like, all right, I'm done with this. And so that would be my concern. However, you use it later,
well,
and it seemed pretty
cool. You know, that was kind of the reaction that Kitra had, like, oh, this is kind of like, oh, this is totally for little kids. But then she, it, like, got, like, she bought in and, like, got excited about it, and it was fun.
The engine room looked really cool, because, again, there was a bunch of puzzle things, and that seemed way more fun to me, because that reminded me, there was a game center thing that we went down. I can't remember now what the heck it was called, but it was in Texas, and it was, like, a virtual reality room where they projected different games and stuff on the walls, and you had to work as a team, and you had to, it knew where you were in the room and all this. It was really cool. Play box or something like that. Anyway, that reminded me of that, because you all had to work together and do all these different things. So looks super, super cool. And I love they did an amazing job on the decor of everything.
I think they did an amazing job on the decor. I think the characters are incredible. Really incredible. Very detailed. And the fact that you're having to interact with them, you know, close up. It can't be very fakey looking, and there's one character in particular that, like, just blew me away.
Are you talking about the, like, Greedo looking person?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just blew me away. How her face worked and all that stuff. Very, very
was
cool.
I not hearing her, like, was she speaking?
She was speaking in her native English.
But people knew
language.
What she was saying.
No, people had, you had to try and just, like, communicate with her and just piece it together and read in between the lines. Yeah, there wasn't, like, a translator.
Because Ordinary Adventures had it translated in the beginning.
Yeah, they may have done something.
Okay.
Like, post production, they did, in the moment. It was just kind of trying to, like, navigate, like, fill in the blanks and try and you had to try and communicate with her speaking in her alien
language. She looked cool, though.
She's great.
Well, you know what I wonder? Okay, so I'm such a nerd, but not in the way you would think I'd be a nerd with this.
So can I say something?
Yeah.
I was going to say this a long time
ago,
just kept going. So I think what you were saying way, way back with with the wanting to be a fly on the wall, I think that's why I really would want to do it with people that I knew. And I think I'd buy in more if it was a group of people that I was already comfortable with.
Well, you know, Vern
versus
would buy
stranger
into it.
Well, yeah, Vern would. But I'm thinking, like, for example, if this won't happen because this is so expensive, I don't think I will ever experience the Galactic Star Cruiser myself, let alone get a group of, say, weekly tiers to all go to. But I think in the perfect world, if I had millions of dollars, I think that'd be super fun to do. Like, to experience.
If you had millions of dollars, just fill the ship with your friends.
Exactly. To experience it as a group, I think, would be the best thing ever. And so part of me wonders, I'm curious to see what the quote unquote normal and regular cruises are. I'm just going to call it cruises, voyages, whatever you want to call them. I'm curious to see how those are going to look, because a lot of the people that are on Disney's media list know each other. So it kind of was like going on a cruise or voyage with a bunch of your friends, so the experience could have been a little different, because you had more you already had built-in camaraderie before you even boarded the ship. Can we talk about the food?
Let me say one thing and then we can talk about the food. The other thing with the characters, because we're talking about characters, so I'm gonna go totally logistical and out of the storyline for a moment.
Well, that's not fun.
I want to know logistically, how does this thing work? Because the captain is present for a lot of things. So does that cast member work for 2 days straight? I don't know how all this works.
I was wondering the same thing.
And how long does costuming and makeup and everything take?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because those characters are around a lot. Because
there's other characters, which I'm not going to give away, that are just, that make, like,
appearances, yeah.
But there's a core cast of characters mm-hmm. that seem to just be there 24. Clearly they're not, but it feels like yeah. they're there 24/7. So yeah, I don't know how that works as far as things go. Maybe there are times that they're doing stuff and you don't realize, like maybe. There's some like storyline reason that they're not there and you don't sure. notice that they aren't there. I don't know.
I will say, again, just to finish with the cast stuff, this is like the A-plus level of Disney cast members working in this. Mm-hmm. Because remember when we went to Rise of the Resistance and we had that one guy yes. who was amazing?
Yes.
He probably is on this somewhere. Because there, you guys all know who are listening. You know that level of cast member that goes like 120% into mm-hmm. character and everything. You know, they're like most of the cast members are wonderful and do 100% or whatever. But there's always those ones that go like a little over. You find that in any mm-hmm. position. But this is like the tip top crop of these people because they yeah. all did an amazing job.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the food.
It
looks.
That's another
cool.
reason I want to go on this is because of the food.
Of course you do.
The food looks just so otherworldly.
It does.
But also delicious at the same time somehow, which makes no sense because there are things like blue shrimp. That's probably not a good one for me to start with because I have zero interest in the blue shrimp because I'm not a seafood person.
Right.
But what is it? Bantha. I want to try Bantha now. Bantha is on our planet beef, but everything that they have that had Bantha in it looked amazing. The butter that they bring out to you is green. Everything is so visually appealing to me.
That jelly thing that they had that looked like a block of, like, I thought it was a candy, but it was like a jelly almost.
Yeah.
Looked amazing. The drink, okay, I hate
glitter.
The drinks glitter.
Look crazy.
I hate glitter. Yeah. But the fact that they called it Stardust.
Yes.
There was
yes.
Stardust in so many things, and they were, I'm impressed that Ordinary Adventures got it to pick up on a camera, because that looked amazing.
Yeah, I just.
So that stuff looks good. Now, I'm not an alcoholic drinker, but that stuff looked really cool. And it sounds like, unlike Oga's, which they also point out, the Oga's drinks are pre-mixed. Mm-hmm. These are real bartenders
yeah,
pouring drinks,
yeah.
so that's another level
that's
as well.
Yep, that's a different experience, but it's just, it's so interesting to me, and I can see how some people could look at it and just be like, whoa, like, no, that's mm-hmm. too in theme for me. I don't know about that. I don't know. But something about it made it, I think because it's a cruise ship and I'm not having, yes, I already paid for it.
Yeah.
But I'm not having to like fork over
sure.
for each meal. I feel like I have more freedom to be adventurous because mm-hmm. if I get something and I taste a bite, I don't feel like I've
wasted
or lost out on something. I can just go get something else.
I wonder if they offer. So what I didn't know on my first cruise, by the way, if you ever go on a cruise, remember this. In the dining room, if you eat in like a main dining room, you can like they give you a menu and you can pick stuff.
Yeah.
You can pick as many things or quantities of those things mm-hmm. as you want. So if you're looking at the menu and there's like a prime rib, you can order like three plates of that and they'll bring you three plates of it and it's fine. I mean, they're small portions.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the same thing here. Like if you're in the dining room and you have like, they had these bao buns that looked great.
It is. It is
can
the same
they just,
thing.
Can they, can yep. you just be like, can I have more bao buns yep. and they'll bring more yep. bao buns
you
out?
Can request more, but they do kind of say, you know, like in that example, that was an appetizer for
yeah.
a multi-course meal. They kind of, you know, let pace yourself because there's more
sure.
good, you know, there's more good stuff coming. But there was another episode that you haven't seen yet where it was because they serve the dinner. The dinners are served family style on this. So that means they serve your table, but they kind of serve a platter and everybody shares from that platter. It looked like breakfast and lunch were done like buffet line a la carte. So you just
yeah.
went up and kind of picked and choose what you wanted. So we're talking about the dinners right now. But yes, you can order more. The other thing, too, was there was one course in the second night's dinner that was, oh, it was the blue shrimp. The appetizer was the blue shrimp, and they had people that didn't like seafood at the table, and so they actually brought out a separate appetizer
oh.
for them, and it was actually plant-based.
Nice.
So that was the other cool thing, too. It seemed like there was a lot, even from people that aren't plant-based eaters, that
yeah.
don't, you know, they're not vegan, they're not vegetarian. It did seem like there was a pretty good amount of options from their lens
yeah.
of plant-based offerings too, which I thought was great.
Well, Disney's been doing great.
They've been doing great. So the secondary option, instead of getting the blue shrimp, was some sort of like impossible meatball type
oh,
thing.
Sure.
with some sort of, it was like a hummus spread. Anyways, it looked good. And they gave it a great review, so apparently it also was
there good. Is nothing that I have seen in the first two videos that I would not eat. Like, it all looked like I would try it.
I feel like a crazy person because it looks so different and so weird to our normal stuff. I just have this weird blind trust with Disney food, though.
Well, see,
Disney food's been doing so, so well that I just
not only that, but I feel like the things lately that they've come out with that do look weird, I've liked.
That's true.
Like, I like the orb thing that they have at Terran Treats.
The cosmic cream orb?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That looks burnt and weird. Yeah. I love that. So they did have a thing that's that same kind of cooking style, I would say, and it's got PB&J inside of it. Yep. And I was like, I would try that.
Yep.
They had different dip. I did think her dipping was kind of funny because she was trying to dip something. She had a piece of beef or something she was dipping, and she's like, "I'm just gonna dip it all four." And I'm like, "Why would you?
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's
why
right.
would you dip it in all four of the sauces at the same time?
Yeah. Because why not? Why
I suppose.
Not?
I mean, you only live once. But I tell you, I haven't seen the last two episodes, and I haven't gotten through the dinner because I just got through the show with yeah. Gaia. Mm-hmm. Gaia. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah, we were supposed to be eating, but we were so enthralled with her performance. And they just started showing the different food. Presentation. So not only does the food look amazing, but it is presented yeah, in really cool ways. They brought, was it like a box they brought out and mm-hmm. for the bow things? And then everything, it like was stacked?
Yep, it stacked. And so then they cool. like took it all apart. It's very, very cool. Very cool.
It looks good. I want to eat like all. I love bao buns. They had the bao buns.
They did have bao buns.
They also what had else desserts. Did they have that I
they
haven't
seen? They had desserts that reminded me of a dessert that we had when we visited Pandora.
Oh, yeah. That also I saw looked, that one. Yep.
Yep. Very good. I don't. There's just so. Everything just looks good. I don't even know how to like.
Did they have anything that looked like normal ish food?
There was like a waffle pancake looking thing for breakfast.
Okay. Oh,
that was probably the most quote unquote normal.
So I love the grilled cheese and tomato
not
soup.
Not normal. Earthly. We'll say that was the most earthly looking thing.
I love the grilled cheese and the tomato soup at yeah. Jolly Holiday. And the first thing they got was a like grilled cheese looking thing with some soup thing. But it was grilled in such a way it looked different.
It was like it looked like bubble so wrap is what good. It looked like.
Yeah,
it looked
it did.
Like giant bubble wrap.
But I saw that and I was like, I want that.
I'm so impressed with the Disney culinary team to not
yeah.
only continue to create such delicious things, but how creative are you to have to create the menu for other planets like
right.
this and make it look so unique yet somehow so appealing in the same way, even though I really don't know what that is. Like,
yeah,
you know, they did. I think the servers did a good job because they did do things like they say, like I told you, like, oh, they would like say, this is Bantha, this is Tip-Yip, this is, you know, whatever. And they would say, you know, on your home planet of Earth, these might be called
beef chicken.
I don't remember. There was a third one. I don't remember what it was. But so they kind of. So, but I.
Yeah.
I like bought into it, and I was so now I'm like, oh, it's Bantha meat, even though I know it's beef, but I've bought into this Bantha mm-hmm. thing. So, anyways, if you're a fan of green milk or blue milk, they had green and blue milk on tap, so you could just mm-hmm. go fill your glass with green or blue milk at any point.
They had some interesting things. One thing I thought was cool was in your stateroom. They have a water pitcher that you could go
oh, yeah.
fill up at the water dispenser, which I thought was neat. I assume you could probably almost fill anything up with that, like if you wanted,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
The room looked comfortable. There was a lot of space.
Yeah, they said, you know, how do I want to say this? With the size of the room, they said they really didn't spend, like, really you're there to sleep and to change
yeah.
and just, you spend very minimal time in the room. So the room was more than adequate. They said the bunk beds were both very comfortable. The bunk beds were actually much larger than you'd think. So
yeah.
grown adults were in the bunk beds not feeling like
smushed
or squished. And apparently the beds were very comfortable as well.
That's good. That's good.
There was an in-room droid that you
that
could interact
was cool.
with.
Yeah, it was
I
almost like
was
an
fun.
Alexa, mm-hmm. but it was a droid that you could talk mm-hmm. to. And you'd see them
yeah,
talking
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it was very neat.
Yeah.
One of the things that Kitra and Peter did mention throughout the videos is the experience can be very data pad heavy. Data pad is, you know, like your cell phone. So basically it's the Disney Play app and the characters on the ship would message you. You could get different, like, I don't want to say quests. What were they called? Different
missions
missions that you could complete things you could scan, all this stuff to help. You had special magic bands, aka data bands. Data bands, is that what they call them?
So.
Data pads and data bands.
Well, those two things basically made it so as you progress through your storyline, it would all connect.
Yeah, and you'd get invited to different things,
yeah.
Or, you know, all
go
sorts
meet
of stuff.
Somebody somewhere.
Your itinerary would change based on your interactions and what you were doing. There's different we won't give this away. There's different paths you can choose, so you can choose. I think it's four different paths that you can choose from, so you can have all these different interactions. But so the hard thing that they were seeing, which we feel is a difficult obstacle now in the parks too, is they're kind of directing you to be behind your phone, where they were hoping for more like genuine experiences.
Yeah.
However, taking a step back, it does make sense, because otherwise, how are they going to? That makes the most sense from Disney's perspective to be able to kind of organize people and get people, you know, shift them out where they need to be and invite them to whatever, you know. So
I don't know could do this without the pads.
Yeah, as much as I don't like it, I understand why they're there, but I agree. I wish it wasn't as heavy and reliant on that. But they did say they still had a ton of great face-to-face character interactions and story interactions in person. And the data pad was kind of like an assistant or a tool.
Am I right that, so I thought I had read this and then maybe I had kind of seen it a little bit in their videos. As a guest, do they give you a magic band?
Yep.
And do they give you a phone? I think they gave you a phone, like an iPhone.
It seemed like they had a separate phone. I don't know
because
if
on
that
the back
was,
it had like a QR code.
Yep, I don't know if that was intentional because this was a media preview and they knew that the media people would need to be using their phones to film and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that was specifically for this trip or if that's
that would
for
be cool
trips.
Though that you wouldn't have to use your own phone and kill the battery all day.
I guess that might make sense because if you have like young kids that are doing this, they might not, you know, not everyone may have a phone that's capable to have the Disney Play app on it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, the other cool thing, I haven't seen this episode, so you'll have to carry this part, but it sounded like they're a part of the story that when you took your excursion to Batuu, that there were things in Batuu that worked to come back to the storyline. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I have not seen this.
So again, I'm not going to give, I won't give things
away. Just give
away.
Like examples
so
of types of things.
One cool thing is you get lightning lanes. Use at any time for both of the Batuu attractions.
Oh.
So you do not have to waste your time on planet with waiting in the queues.
Sure.
You also got, they got a drink coupon to use at Oga. So they were able to access Oga's. You would love this. They got fancy pins to like show that they were visiting from the Galactic Star Cruise voyage. They had different interactions with some people. They had different interactions with people on planet because of the pins.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they got a meal voucher if they chose to dine on planet. They also had the option to go back onto the Star Cruiser and eat from the lunch buffet options there. But I thought that was kind of a cool thing there. So some of the characters, again, I'm not gonna ruin storylines, asked people before they went on their excursion, hey, when you're on Batuu, can you da, 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 da. So there was, you know, maybe you're scanning different things or you're picking up, you know, not physically picking up, but picking up different things. There was actually, I take that back, there was something physical that, depending on your mission, you may have gotten a different coaster from Oga's that you had to take back.
Oh, that's cool.
So that you could scan and whatever. So there was kind of some of that stuff. So they did say at the end of it that it felt like the more you did on Batuu, the more like it tied into storylines when you got back on the planet. So there was this one experience that Kitra and Peter got to do because their friend that they were with scanned a crate because they were trying to get this crate back on the ship.
Their friend that they were with was a superstar with that stuff.
Yeah, he was really good with that stuff. But he had scanned to help get this crate back on board. And because he helped get this crate back on board, they got to be part of this experience that they thought maybe only 20 other people got to experience. And so if he wouldn't have scanned that crate, they wouldn't have been able to that experience. So it does make a difference. So take that as you will. Do with it what you want, you know, because if you don't want to be living behind your phone, 100% get that, definitely.
Right.
So
I want to talk about a couple things that I saw in a different video, but I feel like it's spoilery. So I'm going to say we have chapter markers in the podcast. Skip to the next section if you don't want to hear spoilers for the Galactic Star Cruiser, because I want to talk about something that could come off as a spoiler. I don't think it's it might be what you're talking about. It might be something different. I just want to talk about some of the effects that I saw that I thought were kind of cool, but I feel like to do that, I have to give a little bit of the context with it to have it make sense. So spoiler, magic, spoiler. I thought seeing Rey come out and ignite that lightsaber that we've seen, that that was an extendable one. The video I first saw said she kind of had a problem because she does set it down and grab a different one to do the fighting with.
Oh.
And I thought that that was, could have been smoother.
I didn't notice that when I watched that
part. I bet you will when you watch it again. The other thing that I thought was cool that I was like, this, I even showed it to James. I was like, this is awesome.
Don't spoil it for these people listening
now. That's why I said magic spoilers.
They're not going to turn off this.
Magic spoilers.
Well, you're spoiling. This
magic
is,
spoilers.
Remember how I said there's an epic thing that happens at the on the fourth episode? Don't watch it. That's what he's going to talk about.
Is that what the epic thing is?
I don't know.
I didn't think it was that epic.
I'm assuming that's what the epic thing is. If I was to experience this thing not knowing that this thing was about to happen, I would have been...
Okay.
Boggled.
Well,
mind
okay,
boggled.
Okay,
if you're talking about
okay,
the same thing. Are you talking about the Force?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. I'm like, oh, well, like it's obviously like a treadmill or something.
People can like read your voice.
Nobody's going to read my
anyways,
lips. But I thought that was really cool,
yes,
and unexpected. The other thing that a lot of this reminded me of, and I was thinking about experience-wise, it would be cool, was when I went into the lightsaber experience to build a lightsaber, how I felt emotionally in that and how it might have felt being surrounded by this. Like, because she had goosebumps.
Yep, it seemed like the lightsaber training was also a very emotional experience.
I didn't
experience
see anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do that too?
They do that. That's in there.
What do you think of that? Did that look cool?
I still think it probably is cooler to experience than it is to watch, because watching it, it doesn't look quite as good.
Sure.
But because it's just, you're like, it looks like you're following a laser pointer.
He was saying that too about like showing the stuff out the windows, that it doesn't pick up very well on a camera, but like in person, it looks so much better, like looking outside into space.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because Peter had mentioned something about that, and I wasn't sure if he was meaning how it looked on camera or if he was saying how it looked in person. If the complaint was the camera or in person.
Because the first one I saw, he was saying, this is like the Space 220. It's really hard to tell on the camera, whatever. And he did say there was some weird stuff with perspective. Like when you're looking out the window, if you like move back and forth, it's a little strange. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to do a parallax effect to make it look realistic. I'm really curious with Space 220, which is the restaurant in Epcot that's space themed. You're supposed to be in the space station eating, which is super cool. And with this Galactic Star Cruiser, because in Rise of the Resistance, when you get off that transport in that room with all the stormtroopers, that looks pretty dang cool. So I'm thinking that, but like in these little windows around, like, yeah. I don't know. I'm very excited to see what other people say. I'm excited to see what a normal voyage looks like.
I'm also excited because the Disneyland nurse is, I believe, on this voyage now. So I'm excited to see what he has to say, too.
Sure.
Because I feel like he's very, like, tell it as it is. He's a fan. 100% a fan. I don't want to say he's, you know... 100% a fan.
He's not,
but
just
he's
being
also, he's
super
also
critical,
yeah. But he's also just very realistic and very, you know, very honest. So I'm curious to see his experience and his opinion as well.
I wonder, as time goes on, I wonder if they're going to try to update the storyline, like change it so it's more repeatable for other people.
That's what I was thinking after I finished watching these. But then when they were talking to other people that were on the ship, and they were saying, oh, we, you know, kind of like, this is what were you just doing in there? Because yes, people had training on the brig, but they didn't have the same experience, or the same outcomes didn't happen during their training sessions as did other people's training sessions. So
you're saying it's almost like Indiana Jones, where you ride it the first time and you experience it one way, then you ride it again and you notice different things. It's that Tony Baxter, like, it's meant for the 20th time you ride it,
kind of.
You could experience it again, but
I
you
would
do
say
different things.
It might be like Star Tours, where you're getting on the shuttle and your storyline of your that specific trip, you know, your beginning, middle, and end may not be, you know, you might have some repeats, but something's going to be different. And the other thing, too, is depending on what path you choose, you're going to have different experiences, too, that's sure. Because if you choose, you know, this side versus that side, then you're going to, you know, there's a whole different thing happening on the opposite end. So that's the other part of it, too.
I feel like everything I've seen, have you seen any videos that of people that chose like dark side stuff?
I haven't.
Because I want to kind of understand what that's kind of like.
Ordinary adventure loyal during my watching, except for the other ones that I like, because what happened was I caught up to them releasing stuff. So I ran out of ordinary adventure videos to watch. And I was so sucked into this and I would, like, had bought in that I wanted to know more. So that's when I would go to other people that
Who did you go watch?
Somebody called JoJo.
Was that the dude that looked like Han Solo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He was up at one point during the dinner thing. He was like right up against one of the people. Yeah, I'm like, dude.
Yeah. Back up. It was funny because in the final Ordinary Adventures episode, you see him get called out by the First Order and they say something like, well, you've got all this. Thank you for all the footage. You've been documenting all of your like stuff against us or something like that. It was really funny how they tied in like you've been filming everything.
So I have another question for you since you've watched all of these. Mm-hmm. That upper section mm-hmm. of the atrium, mm-hmm. can people ever go up there?
No, only the only people that are up there are are crew members.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because at one point they had interacted with a couple stormtroopers and then stormtroopers went up these stairs and I didn't know if those stairs went up and if you could have or what.
So, well, the other thing you have to remember too is it's multiple levels.
Mm.
The Star Cruiser is multiple levels. So the atrium's on one level and then you're going down, you know, the rooms are on a different level, that kind of thing. So the stairs you probably saw were just like...
I do have one bone to pick with their design choice of something.
Oh.
When you first get to the Galactic Star Cruiser, there's this a magnificent like outdoor entrance thing. And when you go in the doors, it's this like ugly concrete, really narrow hall that I thought looked terrible. I was like, really?
Maybe they're trying to make it like a terminal or something. I don't know.
Even a terminal looks better than that, though.
I don't know.
But they walked in and I was like,
through it, though.
I know.
I feel like
still.
It's the design choice, though, because the exposed cement is all the outdoor stuff.
But the outdoor stuff looked cool, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
Do they show a video, by the way? Do they show later on the transport to Batuu from the Star Cruiser? How did that look?
They show it to and from.
How did that look?
Crazy. Like, they're bouncing around in that thing.
But it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
It's a different... The transport is different.
I know
what
I'm watching after I go home.
The transport is different. It looks similar to the transport that they took to get to the Galactic Star Cruiser, but... It's not the same transport.
Sure. Because I was wondering how that was going to come out, because, again, it's all about execution, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of concept art and stuff, but how does it actually come out to be? So
one last thing I'm going to say. The other cool thing that I was not expecting is, so when they embark for their day trip to Batuu, there's this whole other part of Batuu that we have not seen yet. They actually, like, have this private little area that they... When they land, they're in this like back little corner and there's all these little like winding little corridors that then they pop out into Batuu from. That was really cool. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, I'm excited to again.
And the
watch
other
that.
Fun thing too is if they purchased anything while they were there, they could take it back. They had concierge that would then like hang on to their stuff and take the stuff to their room, and they could go back there and they got like bottles of water and
stuff.
Well,
I saw
like
that their luggage had ended up in their stateroom.
Yep.
So that's really cool.
Anyways,
so
I was pleasantly surprised with this.
To bring this back to Disneyland real quick, let's just end on a question that could connect it to Disneyland at least.
I was gonna say, how are we connecting this to Disneyland? But go ahead.
What do you think from this will end up in the parks? Because I think a lot of the stuff that's there was what was promised for Galaxy's Edge.
I was just going to say the thing that I was getting the feeling of was the level of interaction and creating your own storyline felt like what Batuu was supposed to have been. However, now seeing it, I don't really know how they would have been able to pull that off.
In like a land.
In a land where, with people coming and going. So it makes sense to have this incredibly immersive, separate experience that you're like locked into for the 2 days worth of time. I do think that these characters, like maybe the captain, and so maybe we'll see some of these characters from the Star Cruiser in the parks on the like days that they're visiting Batuu or something. We might see that. I think this is, yes, it's related to the Galactic Star Cruiser, but I wonder if we don't see the very cool lightsaber come into the park and be used. I don't know why we'd ever have lightsaber battles in Batuu, but maybe it'll happen.
I wonder if some of this food comes to the dining establishments.
I think the food's going to be specific to them. That's part of the experience. I think that's part of the immersion, because I say that because they try to be very immersive, or more immersive, with the food in like Docking Bay 7 when things first opened, but there was too much confusion for guests, and so they end up saying like the tip yip chicken, like they're very clear. They're trying to be, there's more creativity than just like chicken fingers, but not the same creativity level as the blue shrimp.
Do you think if they ever build that restaurant that was supposed to be attached to the cantina, that they would there? Because you have a server then that would be able to answer those things.
I think so.
Okay.
And you're buying into that experience.
I just think it's such a shame that this is such a high price tag experience.
I know.
And they have all this really good stuff that they kind of have been touting with Galaxy's Edge and stuff, that's kind of what they wanted, but that they wouldn't somehow leak at least some of that stuff out to the regular guests who can't. And plus, it's such a limited experience, you know?
Yeah.
If you only have 300 or 400 people per cruise per 2 days, it's not a lot of people that can experience this.
Yeah. Which then ties back into why the price tag is what it is.
Yeah.
Supply and demand kind of thing. I do hope that maybe at some point the price does lower on this, so that this does become accessible for more people to be able to experience, you know, people like us, that, you know, just, I mean, $6,000 for 2 days is steep. So
Do you think it'll be successful? I'm curious.
I don't know how to do this, because I don't know, because I think it's Disney. If they build it, they will come. For sure.
Right.
But for how long? I don't know how many people can afford and justify paying for this experience. Do I think it's incredible? 100. Yeah, it looks incredible to me, but it's just not something a lot of people can do financially. So I think they've really closed themselves off. So at some point, I feel like they will have to drop the price point, because they're just not going to have as many people signing up for cruise, like to sign up for their voyages. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like they're either going to have to drop the price or something.
So even if you are someone that can afford to experience it, okay, well, how many times are you going to repeat, like, go back? That's the other thing, too.
Yeah, to me, I feel like if you're really financially stable and have enough of disposable income, you might do it twice in your whole life. Once is probably what anybody that can experience will probably do it once. The reason I say twice is because, like you said, there's different things happening. Mm-hmm. So you might, your first experience, hear about something that sounds really cool that now you know, but you didn't know. Mm-hmm. I also wonder if watching enough people's YouTube videos over time, people will learn like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. And people will choose those
paths. Figure out how to get there. Well, and someone had mentioned something like, if you see something, just talk to a cast member. They'll try and make it happen. I'm like, well, that's not very Disney. Yeah, it's very Disney, but it's not a very authentic experience, you know, because you didn't get down, you didn't just happen upon that path or just happen upon that experience. It was, you know, that feels a little more forced. But I'm really excited about it, but I'm also really sad about it, because it is locked behind bank vault doors. Sustainably, I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep it at that price point. I feel like at some point it'll have to drop down, but maybe it won't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Maybe demand. It looks really cool, though, and if any Weekly Tiers have the opportunity to go experience this, I would say go ahead. Why
100%.
Not? People that already find going to a Disney park as something that is quite expensive, probably not for you.
It's okay. I'll be the only Weekly Tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
All right, welcome back to Trivia Land. How do you feel about how you did tonight?
Yeah, it could go either way.
Not so good over here.
That's okay. Well, all right, let's hop right into it and find out how it went for you. Your first question from listener Thompson H. Harper Goff, one of the Imagineers who brought us the Jungle Cruise, is from Fort Collins, Colorado. Fort Collins named a road after him. What type of road is it? You guessed Parkway and Drive. It is Harper Goth Alley.
Alley.
Well, that doesn't have that as good of a ring.
No. I feel like as far as namings
poor
goes,
Goff.
The only thing that would, I think even Alley is less prestigious than Court.
Yeah. Dang.
Well, you know, I mean, I'd be happy to have anything named after me too, so.
Your second question from listener Jill M. How fast does the train go? And I was going to allow you plus or minus 1 mile per hour. Your guesses were 7 and 14, and the number I was looking for was 12.
Oh, so close.
We're in the middle of both of us, basically.
I should have gone with the Disneyland number of 13, and then I would have been, then I would have been there.
Or if I would have allowed you plus or minus 2, you would have had it.
Yeah. DN's asked, said, Alley, that's not used in UPS, I don't think. Is it, Vern? I don't know if I've ever heard of like an alley address.
You know, I can't think of an alley.
I feel like maybe in a bigger of the three city zip codes
that I deliver.
But I've never like addressed something to alley.
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Question number 3 from listener Trisha H. What is the name of the snow car that greets guests at the entrance to Cars Land?
I'm doing so good here.
And you had guesses of Frosty the Snow Car and Snow Car. And the correct just answer that I was looking for was Snowy the Snow Car.
Oh!
I was at least right with Snow Car. I'm proud of myself for that.
I'm going to give you each half credit on
thank
that.
Thank you.
Yay.
Snowy the Snow Car.
You're welcome.
Because you both had half the words that I needed, so you're each getting half a point on that one.
Snowy.
In your fourth and final regular round question from listener Lee S., where did the words Lincoln speaks in the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln attraction come from? You both answered with Gettysburg. I gave you each half a point. The correct answer that I was looking for is they are excerpts from several speeches Lincoln gave throughout his life.
Oh. Does Gettysburg count?
Yeah, he gave us
half
a point.
Credit
oh, half
because
point.
Gettysburg
you weren't paying attention. You were too busy reading the chat.
I got too distracted by the comment of Diagon Alley and then Deanne asking Ashley if that's in Canada. Deanne, Diagon Alley is from the Harry Potter universe. It is not a real address. That's why I got distracted. I thought it was adorable.
I'm hiding the chat until trivia's
done.
Deanne,
we need to take you to Universal so you can go visit Diagon Alley.
And your bonus question, submitted by listener Stephen S. This movie was the first to feature the now classic Disney Castle opening logo with the sound as we know it today. Your answers were Peter Pan and Pinocchio. The classic Disney Castle opening logo, as we see it today, came out in 1985 and was first seen on Return to Oz.
Oh.
But the first time we heard it with the sound was later in 1985 with The Black Cauldron.
Didn't you say that something about The Black Cauldron as we were bopping around through stuff?
I think maybe. I'm glad you said that because I thought I said it, but then I was like, maybe I just thought it and I didn't actually say it out loud. That's such... Have you seen that movie? Have you seen The Black Cauldron? It is such a different Disney movie. It is not your normal, like, warm, fuzzy feels of a Disney movie.
Is that the one with the Gurgi?
Yes, that's
Munchies
the one that has...
Munchies are in here somewhere.
Yes, that one has... Yep, it's with Gurgi. And there's, like, a magical pig in it. It's a very interesting storyline. And it, like, even the animation style doesn't quite look fully Disney to me. It's just, it's a very different film. It's very dark.
Oh, my whole childhood, I didn't realize it was Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the copy that we had was, like, copied off of somebody else's, you know,
It was a bootleg copy of The Black Cauldron.
You hook two VCRs to each other, and like they didn't actually get the Disney logo on it. And so I just grew up with a copy of Black Cauldron, not knowing it was Disney.
Well, at least The Black Cauldron is known for something good.
I mean, I feel still like enjoy it. I still think it's a good movie, but it's certainly not classic Disney.
No, yeah, I think it's...
Even though it's a Disney classic.
I think it's... I enjoy it as a movie, but it gets a lot of hate. It is very different.
Well, I feel like there was a lot of those type of movies that were, in air quotes, kids' films in the 80s that were a little dark.
Yeah.
Like Labyrinth was pretty dark. Yeah. There was a few
Don't
of those,
you
like...
Don't ever say anything disparaging about Labyrinth.
No, Labyrinth is great, but I'm saying for a children's for movie, it's dark. They're going to kill the baby.
Rainbows, yeah. Oh,
did they actually call that a children's movie? Mm.
I think that it had like Muppet like things in it. So
well, just
people.
Because Henson made the Muppets for it doesn't make it a children's movie.
Yeah, I would
say
that was probably a children's movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I mean, even though my parents allowed my sisters to show that movie to me when I was a child, I wouldn't qualify it as a children's movie. Like now, as an adult watching it, I'm like, oh my goodness, what were they thinking allowing me to watch that?
Yeah. I need to watch it. Definitely.
But on the other hand, I was so young that I didn't really catch everything that now as an adult I'm catching and I'm like, oh, wow.
I feel like that's the case with a lot of things. Even Disney movies, I think, sometimes throw in
humor
that goes over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things,
oh, yeah.
Pixar does that a lot, I feel like.
There are so many things from the Disney movies of my childhood that I now watch as an adult and I'm like, whoa, I did not catch that when I was 10.
And you know what? Our parents didn't care.
Yeah, because they knew we weren't catching it. So they were like, okay, whatever. You'll get it when you're 30. So, anyway, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you feel about how Tag and Teresa did? Do you think that you've got the questions that are going to really stump them next week? If you do have that great question for us, feel free to submit that at trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Vitamin Water was born in New York because New Yorkers wanted more. Like more flavor to go with all the flavor. A refreshing drink after climbing 6 flights of stairs to a walk-up apartment or standing in the subway station in 100-degree heat. Drink Vitamin Water. It's from New York.